Hi everyone. Sometimes life presents me with a situation which seems impossible to resolve. Whichever way I look at it, I can only see one or two options open and neither of them look good. I bash my head on my inner brick wall, but it doesn't help. I'm left with an insoluble dilemma or a situation that I'm in but I can't live with. When sharing this with a friend, I realised that this experience is by no means unique, and I couldn't help wondering why. After all, we are told that the Creator created the worlds with increasing concealment only in order to give human beings free choice. Indeed, the Hebrew word for world, olam, means hidden. Has something gone wrong? One or maybe two options, neither of which feel good, isn't my definition of free choice. Shouldn't many choices be open to me? When I read Rabbi Yehuda Lev Ashlag's article entitled Freedom in his work Matan Torah, I began to realize that our choices are limited by our basic nature. Rabbi Ashlag explains what this is and what we can do about it. Everyone receives the basic structure of their ego or personality from their parents. Sometimes character traits are passed on directly. We say, like father, like son, or the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Sometimes a character trait that was only expressed as a potential in the parent becomes manifest in the offspring. Or sometimes a trait which manifested in one polarity in the father can operate in opposite polarity in the next generation. So if the parent is miserly, for example, the child may grow up to be either miserly or generous. These traits form our basic personality, which we receive as an inheritance from our ancestors through the generations down to our immediate parents. However, these personality traits only ripen into fruition depending on our interaction with our environment, which is made up of our teachers, the friends we make, the books we read, and the media we watch. If, for example, a person may have within him the potential for being a world-class pianist, but if he or she never plays the piano or never has a piano lesson, this potential will remain hidden and never come to light. The third factor which influences our responses to life is the factor of habit. If, for example, a person has the basic personality trait of miserliness, but he comes to understand that this is not desirable, he's capable of changing his basic response by habitually training himself to act with generosity every time. We can see how this works in everyday life in people who are overweight. This is a character trait which often runs in families, but by perseverance and change of habit, a person can overcome his inbuilt tendency to overeat and attain a more healthy weight. So habit is very effective in creating what Rabbi Ashlag terms a second nature. The fourth factor which influences us relates to issues which only indirectly are associated with us, yet nevertheless impinge on our lives, the security situation, the economic situation, and so forth. These four factors operate on us and form the basic substance of our lives, such that our essential response that any of us will give in a situation may be possibly unique to us as individuals, yet it will be predetermined by these four factors. So where does free choice come in? The answer was one I find a bit surprising. Free choice does not enter in the moment of decision, except in one special case which we'll come to later on in this talk. Our decisions are actually determined for us by our ongoing day-to-day previous behaviour. This is where our free choice is certainly operable. By choosing again and again a positive environment, We can certainly help ensure that when we come to make a decision, we make it from the most conscious place we're capable of. This is what Rabbi Ashlag says concerning this in his essay on freedom. The environment as a cause. One can always add to our spiritual environment, which consists of our friends, our books, our teachers, and so on. This can be likened to one who has inherited a small measure of seed grain from his father and could produce from this small measure a large quantity of wheat just by choosing a suitable environment for the seed. The required environment is a fertile ground which contains all the minerals and raw materials with which to support the wheat in plenitude. Likewise, the work consists of improving the environmental conditions so they will suit the needs for growth. The wise person will act with intelligence and choose the best conditions and find blessing, whereas the fool just takes what there is to hand and so turns the sowing of his seed to a curse instead of a blessing. It follows that the superior quality and profitability of the wheat depends entirely on the environment in which the seed was sown. However, once it has been sown in its chosen environment, the outcome of the wheat has already been determined according to the measure that the environment is able to give to it. We have the freedom to choose our environment, our books, and our teachers, who can give us good, intelligent wisdom. If a person does not do this, but is prepared to come into any opportune environment or read any available book, then he or she is bound to fall into a bad environment or waste his or her time with books that have no value, which are many and more convenient. From this, he or she is bound to come to hold worthless or even evil views, which lead him or her into sin and wickedness. Therefore, one who makes the effort in his or her life and chooses each time a better environment is destined for improvement and reward. This is awarded to the person not by reason of their thoughts or good deeds, which come to them without their choice, but from the effort they made to find a good environment which brings to them these thoughts and deeds. Thus Rabbi Yehoshua ben Pirhia said, "Make for yourself a rav, acquire for yourself a friend." That's in Ethics of the Fathers. So, freedom of choice actually operates before the decision through the constant study of Torah, immersing ourselves in the divine wisdom, thus giving us continually choosing the right environment, and through the constant habit of doing in practice the mitzvot, we can just change the preset and the given of our lives. Yet there is one further factor completely outside the set framework. There is always the God within us. Everyone can always call on the powers of the soul to help us. This is called Yirat Shamayim. No matter what, we can decide that no matter what it costs me, I will act according to the Yirat Shamayim, the awe of heaven, the fear of doing something which, God forbid, could separate me from my Creator. Truly, the rabbi spoke when they said, "Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyirat shamayim." Everything is in the hand of heaven, except for the fear of sin. That is to say, everything is determined by the Creator, except for the fear of sinning. Or as Rabbi Akiva said, "Everything is foretold, yet free choice is given." I was at a meeting this week to mark the third anniversary of the expulsion of the Jews from Gush Katif. This tragic event was marked by talks and some documentary films. What came out so incredibly clearly was the tremendous Yirat Hashem displayed by the inhabitants of these precious communities. Caught as they were in circumstances which were completely beyond their control, they refused to stoop to cursing or violence or other acting out. They chose the path of Yirat Hashem. They chose not to destroy the precious fabric of our society. When we act from this place, We've stepped out of the whole paradigm of nature. Nothing in this realm of consciousness is predetermined or can be foretold. Here the real freedom of choice is to be found, and it's always present. No matter with what hard place we are faced, we can always choose the path of belief in the Creator and in the goodness of the One, that the Blessed One is good and does good, and decide to act from faith.